from the initiation. So these are the contents of the verses that you will be repeating. For the time being, you are not entitled to see the mandala, so tie the blindfold to symbolize that you are covering your eye, as you are not entitled to see the mandala. And also imagine that you are given a flower garland that you would offer to the deities when you enter the mandala and see the deities. Just keep the flower with you, no need to use it right now. And then again here, as you have generated yourself into the deity, you should again here first of all reflect about the meaning of emptiness. Imagine yourself, what is this I? You won't find it when you search it. It is simply designated, and it's because of this designation upon others, it doesn't have an independent objective existence. And since there is no independently existing I, there is no independently existing mind, and in the case of your psychophysical aggregates, your relatives and friends, they also do not have independent existence. When searched, you won't find it. So therefore, including your I, all phenomena, whether external or internal, they do not have independent existence. And if you try to find the basis of designation, you won't find it. And likewise is the case with the samsara and nirvana. They also are devoid of inherent existence. It is in this way that you reflect on this philosophical viewpoint, and then from that state of emptiness, this mind itself that perceives emptiness arises into the form of Buddha Tathagata, in the form of Bhikshu, whose hands are in the gesture of giving the Dharma teaching. So imagine you transform into this Buddha, and then at your heart you should visualize a sun disk on which you should visualize a blue syllable Hong. At your throat visualize a lotus on which you should imagine a red syllable R. And on your crown imagine a moon disk on which you should visualize white syllable Om. And imagine that rays of light emanate from these three letters, and your whole body is filled with light. It's the other way around. Solinus is correcting the hand gesture of someone. Yes, now you are right. That is the meaning of developing ascertainment, or the meaning of emptiness, and then that mind perceiving emptiness itself rising into the form of a deity. And having done that, then you should again focus on the deity in which you have generated, and then again reflect on the emptiness nature of that deity. So, for example, you have generated yourself into Buddha Tamsik Sumku, and in the case of this Buddha also, when you talk about the eye of this Buddha, where is this eye? When you search it, you won't find it. So this Buddha that you have imagined at your mental level, if you examine the body of this Buddha, where is the body of the Buddha? Is it the head, the hand, the legs? When you split in this way the parts, you won't find the whole, which you identify as the body of the Buddha. And similarly, if you think about the mind of the Buddha, that also, if you search, you won't find it. Next is holding the Bodhisattva vow. This Buddha Tamsik Sumku with the five deities, the mandala with the five deities that you have imagined or visualized, and similarly you have also visualized the root, similarly you should visualize the root and lineage lamas, and the presence of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in front of you in the space. Imagine the presence of all these great beings, and around yourself imagine the infinite sentient beings, and see that all sentient beings are like yourself, wanting happiness and not wanting suffering. His Holiness was asking whether they have brought the text on the seven branch prayers. Even though in relation to the mandala, it doesn't speak about performing these seven limb prayers, but I felt it will be good if we do it. So develop a strong faith towards these images, holy beings that you visualized in front of yourself, and you are developing such a faith out of concern towards the suffering sentient beings that you visualized around yourself. And you are also taking the faith based on your aspiration to achieve the state of enlightenment by yourself, to be able to help other sentient beings. So here, the most important course for achieving Buddhahood is not only receiving the aspirational bodhicitta with commitment, but receiving the bodhisattva vow. When we talk about bodhisattva vow, you are taking a commitment to always lead the life of a bodhisattva. Not that you will practice the way of life of bodhisattva when you are happy or in a good mood, and not to practice them when you are depressed or in a not happy mood. So in order to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all suffering sentient beings, I will receive the bodhisattva vow. Bodhisattva vow could be developed by someone who has enough store of merit and not by others who lack such store of merit. And one of the best way of storing or collecting merit is to undertake this practice of seven limb practice as is taught in the Mahayana Sutras. So this seven limb practice is the best way to purify negative deeds and to collect merit. And so therefore try to imagine the objects of refuge clearly and then develop strong concern towards the suffering mother sentient beings, and then develop a wish to achieve enlightenment for their benefit. And you should think that it is for their benefit I will receive this bodhisattva vow, and it is for their sake I will purify my negative deeds and collect. Receiving the bodhisattva vow, there are different texts that are being used in accordance with what is taught in Bodhicharya Avatara, Shiksha Samuchya, and so forth. And there are different words. For example, we can receive the bodhisattva vow from the words from text called Vajra Tent and so forth. So here we take bodhisattva vow by first taking refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha in the uncommon Mahayana way. So one takes refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha by developing bodhicitta. And the process of taking refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha is not just for yourself, but for the sake of all suffering sentient beings. And one takes refuge with a wish to actualize enlightenment. And then you purify negative deeds and collect merit by confessing the negative deeds. And develop rejoice at the virtuous deeds done by yourself and other sentient beings. And it is in this way that you develop bodhicitta. And after having developed bodhicitta, you are also making a commitment saying that you will lead the life of bodhisattva. And what is the way of life of bodhisattva? The way of life of a bodhisattva is such that it is pleasing to everybody, because it is an act which always helps other sentient beings. So therefore it is really important to develop a clear, vivid understanding of the way of life of bodhisattva, and then you should receive the bodhisattva vow. Sit in a kneeling position. Kneel in a way which is most comfortable, placing either both the knees or just the right knee. As I've explained the meaning, now you should repeat the lines for generating bodhisattva vow. I take refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and individually confess the negative deeds. rejoice at the virtuous deeds done by others. I will hold Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha in my mind. To Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, I take refuge until I achieve enlightenment. In order to fulfill my purpose and others' purposes, I develop the mind to enlightenment. Having developed this mind to enlightenment, I will invite all sentient beings as my guest and lead the pleasing way of life of Bodhisattva. May I achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. So this completes the first repetition, and you should repeat this a second time, and there is no better practice than the development of bodhicitta and receiving the bodhisattva vow. And in the case of Buddha himself, it is by undertaking this practice that he achieved enlightenment and was able to fulfill the purposes of oneself and other sentient beings. So therefore the heart practice of Buddha's teachings is generation of bodhicitta, and therefore I am indeed fortunate that today I have this opportunity to follow Buddha's teaching and to develop the bodhisattva vow. So it is in this way that you should develop great appreciation and happiness within the mind, and then receive the bodhisattva vow. This completes the second repetition, and during the third repetition, develop an intense wish to develop bodhicitta and to receive the bodhisattva vow and lead the life of bodhisattva, and develop a strong mental courage, thinking that I will myself do the work of helping the sentient beings, and it is for their sake that I will receive the bodhisattva vow. And with this kind of motivation, when you conclude reciting the last line, you should think that you are able to develop a bodhisattva vow similar to the ones present in the mind of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Sit down.
What
This completes receiving the Bodhisattva vow. And you should repeatedly study about the 18 root infractions and 46 secondary infractions. And then in order to determine your lineage, the Lama asks you, what is your lineage and what kind of path do you like to follow? We should answer this by saying that I am a fortunate one in the sense that I have this wish to help all suffering sentient beings, have this wish to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. And I am a person who has great appreciation of the path of bliss, that is the tantric path. So with this kind of understanding, you should answer my questions. So you will be answering this by saying, I am the fortunate one and I desire great bliss. I am the fortunate one means that you wish to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. Therefore you are a Mahayanist. And when you say, I desire great bliss, it means you are someone who wants to follow the path of great bliss, that is the tantric path. So it is in this way that your lineage and is decided. So don't answer me fast. Now repeat this. Kesanda Devachimbulao. And then again a question is asked by saying, why do you need this path? And why you have such a desire? You will answer this by saying that in order to actualize the pledge of the completely enlightened Buddha, answer this. Sanje Choge Tamzik Jisel. Next is generation of a mind called generation of yoga of all encompassing mind. And this refers to generation of conventional bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta, about which we have been discussing during the last few days. So, in other words, you are here developing a wish to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. So that is the generation of conventional bodhicitta. So here you should try to develop this mind of bodhicitta, aspiring to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. Meditate on this, thinking that you are developing this mind to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. from the depth of your heart, you aspired to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. Now you should imagine this mind transforming into a round light at your heart. Remember, you have generated yourself into the form of Buddha, Tamsik Sumku. So at your heart, imagine this mind of Bodhicitta transforming into the entity of a moon disk or round white light. Next is the generation of ultimate Bodhicitta. This is done by thinking that when you think about achieving enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, who is this I that aspires to achieve enlightenment? And the enlightenment that is to be actualized, all these are interdependent. They are dependent on other factors, other conditions, the designating mind and so forth. And if they have independent or inherent existence without having the need to depend on others, then either you should be enlightened right in the beginning without having made any effort, or you should not be able to achieve enlightenment however how much effort you make. Similarly, when we reflect and think about sentient beings defiled by afflictive emotions, and if these afflictive emotions have inherent existence, then sentient beings cannot reduce and eliminate these afflictive emotions. There's no way they can change them. The ability to change these afflictive emotions clearly show that these are dependent on causes and conditions. So it is in this way that you will be able to conclude that everything is dependent on causes and conditions, and there is nothing that has independent existence, as he said in the Buddha Palita, where he says, if things have inherent existence, then it should be enough in itself. What is the need to talk about things being designated? Whereas, based on our own experience, the reality is such that everything is dependent on many factors. Since everything is designated, there is no independent or inherent existence. Even though this is the case, but to our ordinary mind, when things appear to us, they tend to appear to us as having objective existence. So here you should come to a conclusive understanding that it is definite that things do not have a slight trace of objective existence or independent existence. Let us meditate on the meaning of lack of inherent existence of all phenomena. So here, when you think about the lack of inherent existence of all phenomena, it is not like repeating the meaning of these words, but rather you should mentally reflect how things are interdependent, and thereby how things lack inherent existence. And imagine this mind ascertaining the meaning of lack of inherent existence of all phenomena, now transforms into a white vajra with five spokes on the moon disk that you have visualized at your heart in a standing posture. So these two minds, the conventional bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta, you should think that I will treat them as even more important than my own life, and you should think that I will always cherish them and preserve them. And with this kind of feeling or with this kind of decision, you should repeat these mantras. Om Sarva Yoga Chita Upadaya Me. So it is in this way that you develop an indivisibility of these two truths, the conventional bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta. And just as you have generated these two minds, imagine that the Lama also has generated these two minds at his heart, and imagine that a duplicate of this mind arises from the heart of the Lama and dissolves into the two minds that you have generated at your heart. And it is in this way that the conventional bodhicitta and the ultimate bodhicitta that you have cultivated at your heart gets stabilized through the dissolution of the two minds of the Lama. So when the Lama holds the bell and the Vajra, and with the Vajra makes the gesture of touching your heart, imagine that these two bodhicitta minds that you have cultivated are stabilized. Next is asking you to observe secrecy. In other words, you are asked by the Lama, please keep this as a secret. Today you will be blessed by all the Buddhas, and so therefore you should not reveal this secret to others who have not entered the mandala and who have no faith. And then imagine that the eastern door of the mandala opens and you enter inside the mandala. And then imagine that you are making paying homage to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, physically, verbally and mentally. So first of all, you should place the folded hand on your crown. Repeat this. Om Namah Devo. Then place it at the throat. Om Namah Meho. Then at the heart. Om Namo Namaho. And next is invoking the wisdom beings. In other words, you are making a supplication to invoke the wisdom beings. Repeat this. You will be blessed. May I be blessed by all the Buddhas. Kindly descend upon me the Buddha Tamsik Sumku. Tamsik Sumku. Dala Buddha. You should imagine yourself as the Buddha Tamsik Sumku. Once again, try to gain a vivid, clear imagination of yourself into the form of the Buddha Tamsik Sumku. In the Mahayana teachings, the teaching on Buddha nature is being explained, saying that we all have the seed, we all have the capacity and the potential to become Buddha. And when it comes to precisely pinpointing what is this seed that is called the Buddha nature, Buddha potential, there are different viewpoints, but basically it refers to the clear light mind. So try to reflect on this clear light mind as the main source of Buddhahood, and by nature you have the potential to actualize the four bodies of the Buddha, and this potential can be activated by depending on certain causes and conditions, and it has external causes and conditions and internal causes and conditions. The internal cause or the Buddha potential is there within us, and external cause refers to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who possess high realizations, and particularly in the case of the Buddhas who possess spontaneous, effortless activities to benefit other sentient beings. And it is because of our possessing the Buddha nature, because we have the capacity to actualize the Buddha Tamsik Sumku, you are again here meditating upon yourself as the Buddha Tamsik Sumku, and it is through visualizing yourself in the form of the Buddha Tamsik Sumku, and by reflecting on his body, his speech in the form of mantra, and also imagine his mind arising in the form of syllable, term, and so forth. So it is in this way that you should imagine that you receive the blessing of body, speech, and mind of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So this is basically done by visualizing a syllable, term, at the heart of the Lama, who is indivisible from the principal deity, and rays of light emanate from that syllable term and invites the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and then their blessings are invited in the form of syllable term, which is the indivisible wisdom of the mind of the Buddha Tamsik Sumku. And imagine that these letters and mantras then dissolve within your body, and it is in this way that your body, speech, and mind are transformed into the Vajra body, mind, and speech of the Buddhas, and it is in this way that you receive blessing and transformed into a state of magnificence. Imagine that when the Lama recites the mantra Tishta Vajra, imagine that the blessing that you have received gets stabilized. Next is offering the flower to the mandala. So here you are entering the mandala of the Buddha Tamsik Sumku. So here you should hold the flower garland in your hand, and imagine that you are offering this flower garland to the deities of the mandala, and imagine that you are offering this flower particularly to the deity with whom you have special karmic connection. Repeat this. Sanjung Udu, in order to achieve the accomplishment of Buddhas, be compassionate to me. And with compassion, kindly accept this flower. And imagine now you are offering this to the deity with whom you have a special karmic connection. When Venerable Dinzi Chamchen throws the flower, imagine that you are all offering the flower. And repeat this mantra. Om Benza Parte Gyana Hombe. The flower fell to the south, belonging to the Ratanasambhava lineage. I think the tooth stick, tip of the tooth stick yesterday also fell towards the south. And this flower that you have offered to the deity is being given back to you, and you put it on your crown. Imagine experiencing bliss and emptiness. This is also called receiving the flower initiation. As soon as you put the flower on your crown, imagine that you develop even more clearer understanding of yourself as the Buddha Tamsik Sumku. And you experience great bliss. This is also called the initiation of the flower garland. Next is removing the blindfold. When you remove the blindfold, imagine that as soon as you remove the blindfold, you are also removing and eliminating ignorance. Remove the blindfold. Remove your ignorance. So by removing the blindfold, imagine your ignorance is removed and you gain the wisdom eye, and after that you are asked to see carefully the details of the mandala. Mandala is a square mandala, and in the center of which you should imagine Buddha radiating with light. And on the tip of each of these rays of light, imagine that there are many different types of emanations that are suitable to help sentient beings, depending upon their needs and depending upon their mental dispositions. And the main deity Buddha is surrounded by four retinue deities. In short, you should imagine that you are able to see the whole mandala, the residence, and the resident deities. So this completes entering the. This completes the subject related to entering the mandala, Next is conferring the mandala after having conferring the initiation after having entered the mandala, and for that you make a mandala offering. Repeat this request. Sanju doja sanju na. Chuje chuda zeva. Doja ram doja ves. Namke doja tinda. Namke doja tinda. Namke doja tinda. Imagine yourself on the eastern door of the mandala, on the stool, on a stool on the eastern door of the mandala, sitting on a lotus and moon seat. And there, imagine yourself in the form of Buddha Thamsik Sumku. And in order to empower you to hear a thing and meditate on the yoga, without sign to actualize the Dharmakaya, the water initiation is being conferred. And as usual, in order to generate yourself into the deity, first reflect on the meaning of emptiness and dissolve your ordinary appearances into the state of emptiness. And from that state of emptiness, the substance of the initiation, which is water, here also dissolves into the state of emptiness. And in addition to the deities of the mandala, or the mandala that has been placed and prepared, we also invite fresh deities for conferring the initiation. And you should here imagine that the initiation is conferred by expressing words of auspiciousness by these deities. And from that state of emptiness,